The Bhagavad Gita is a book of mankind's collected experience of and answers to life's most basic questions. Who I am? From where do I come? What is my purpose and destiny? And most practically, how do I find happiness? Unlike a car with its user's manual, we are born without instructions how to live. We experience life vicissitudes without a so-called user's manual. The Gita has been described as such a guide. These podcasts originate in the lectures of Neil Bhatt, a disciple of Swami Chinmayananda, which he has been delivering for more than 25 years. They are presented here in 20 to 30 minute segments, each covering three of the Gita's 701 verses. Welcome to Gita Wisdom for Daily Living.
Okay, so far we have seen that in Vedanta there is a recurring theme that if we are seeking happiness from the context of the world outside, we can get that unbroken happiness. That eternal happiness which we are seeking cannot be gained by the contacts with the world outside. Because the contacts with any objects which can give me happiness is finite, and therefore the happiness I get is also finite. So the verse 24 in chapter 5, which we have discussed last time, said, Ya antaha sukha rama antarama tatha antar jyotihi eva yaha sa yogi brahma nirvanam brahma bhuta adigachyati. That's the finding of Vedanta, that one who is reveling in his self finds happiness within himself. By the self-illumination of his self, he finds that eternal happiness. That's the only case where you can find that unbroken happiness which we are all seeking is possible. And that's because, as you say, antar jyotihi eva. One who has the self-illumination, self-awareness that the ego which is seeking happiness is none other than the universal self. That eternal self, which I have considered to be completely something different than me, is now revealed to me that my ego is nothing but part of that happiness. Once that illumination, that awareness takes place, Bhagavan said, such a person, Brahma Bhuta Adigachyati, he finds that eternal happiness in becoming one with the Brahman. The Brahman, which is the all-pervading, omniscient, omnipotent being, when I realize that myself is none other than that self, that is the only time, Bhagavan said, is one can find that eternal happiness. So the following verse, which we have seen, is elaboration on that. There's such a yogi. This thing is not hypothetical, as Bhagavad Gita. Anything, any knowledge which is just an hypothetical knowledge is obviously of not much value to us. But the Vedas and Vedantas and Bhagavad Gita says that numerous people in several generations has experimented on this and sought this happiness and found this happiness by these tactics and these techniques. This is Labhante Brahma Nirvanam Rushayah Kshina Kalmasaha. Verse 25 onward, which you have seen in the last class, I say Labhante Brahma Nirvanam Rushayah Kshina Kalmasaha Chinna Dvaida Yatatmanaha Sarvabhutahite Rataha. We typically think that once I found that happiness, I really wouldn't have anything to do with this world, because my whole paradigm was I was seeking happiness in this world. World could not give me the happiness I was seeking for. I finally found the happiness within myself. now I have nothing to do with this world. That's our general perception or general mental picture of a sannyasi who has become self-realized. Now he is completely by himself in Himalaya somewhere, no contact with the world outside because he doesn't need one. Bhagavan says, no, that's not the case. A self-realized person does not become a isolated person who is completely now useless to the society. You know. He doesn't become a complete burden in the society because we typically say sannyasi is one who is not doing anything. We are the ones who are supporting. I as the householder, a businessman, a worker bee in the society is supporting those people who are just sitting on Himalayas or under a tree and meditating. Bhagavan said, no. This people who love Brahman, who has achieved the Brahma Nirvana, those rishis who have achieved the Brahma Nirvana by Kshina Kalma Saha, by becoming free from all the sins. And we have seen that sin is nothing but a negative impression on the mind. That avarana, that veiling on the mind, which is not letting me see the reality, is the sin. By the vikshepa, the oscillation in my thinking, my mind, this is right or that's right. Should I do this or should I do that? Will that give me happiness or that give me happiness? That's a vikshepa. In Sanskrit it says, you know, that oscillation in my thinking creates avarana, the veiling on my mind. And that veiling does not let me see the reality as is, that I am the source of happiness. Source of happiness is not outside. But see, those whose sins are destroyed, those whose this avarana is destroyed, kshina kalmashaha, those whose papas are sins are destroyed, this negativity is gone, chinna dvaita, they become without duality. Because right now my problem is I've divided this world into two. The part which I like and part which I do not like. My world has a clear definition of that which is good for me, that is not good for me. This duality which my mind has created, once I get out of this negativity in my mind, the duality also disappears. Now I see the thing as is. Tsunami comes, I see that as a negative something. Somebody else will just say it's the geographical phenomenon. You know. It happens as the physical laws described in the physics books. You know. So when I see, start seeing things as is, I'm chinna dvaidaha. I have no duality in not dividing the world into this is good and this is bad. Any occurring in this world, as we know, is innocent. It just occurs as driven by the laws of nature. It is my positioning in this world makes that either a good thing or a bad thing. Market goes down, the short seller will say, great day today. You know. But the other guy, he says, well, that's a very bad day today. It's where my positioning in this world makes this a good or bad for me. But if I am just a witness, then things will be evenly happening by the laws of nature. So, chinna dvaidaha yatatmanaha, one who is one with his self, you know, content in his self, who has understood his self, you know, he becomes sarva bhuta hite rataha. Once he knows this, once he has attained this eternal happiness, the source of eternal happiness, he is not just content by not doing anything. Look, I found what I was looking for, I don't want to do anything. No, now he becomes working for all the welfare of all the beings. Sarva bhuta hite rata. Now he does not have the distinction between these are my people and I need to take care of them at the cost of the other people who are not my people. these are the things which I should do for the human beings. Let the other beings go to wherever. That's not the perspective. He has now perspective. He is working for the welfare of the all the beings. Perfect green revolution and a perfect green concept, right? So he says, he becomes sarva bhuta hite rataha. So he becomes even more beneficial to the society. These are the people who makes the society a better place every day, because they're constantly working for the betterment of the society, the community, this planet, this universe. Therefore, there is no prophet ever in the history who has realized this knowledge, just sit down and say, we are not going to tell anybody this thing. They constantly try to convey this message to others where the source of happiness lies and how to find it. The next verse says, kama krodha vyuktanam yatinam yata chetasam abhitaha brahma nirvanam vartate viditatmanam. You know, kama krodha vyuktanam. Now these are the basically the qualities he develops. He doesn't have to try this now anymore. We have to control anger. And say, well, what are you doing, Neil? Well, I'm really trying hard to control anger. I'm not getting angry. For the last 7 days, I never got angry. I'm counting, you know. Any time I can lose that, you know. 7 days is my record. But no, this person, one who has realized that there is no duality, there is no I in the world, there is only I everywhere, he becomes kama krodha vyuktana. He does not, he is without any desire or anger. We know desire and anger are expression of the same emotion at two different times, you know. But once I become one with myself and the eternal self, there is nothing to desire, because desire is only for a limited being. A limited ego is seeking things which does not belong to it. That's a desire. I only desire things which I don't have, you know. Then I only desire to retain things which I have because I'm afraid somebody will take it away from me. You know. Protection of your wealth, you know. Preservation of your social security. Because I'm afraid it will go away. When I'm not seeking anything which is outside me, there is no desire. So he's without any desire. Everything that is happening is per my desire. You know. And therefore there is no anger. Things are happening as the nature has designed. And it's perfectly okay with me. And therefore I really don't have any anger about why things are happening. As I said, we don't have any riots when summer becomes winter. We don't have riots in the streets out and say, why we have this cold weather outside, you know. Government should do something about it. We know it's the nature which is happening. Or we don't have a great celebration because we have spring, you know. It comes every year. We are happy about it, but we accept it as the act of nature, and therefore we are all okay with it. Once I accept everything that is happening in this world, then I'll be fine with it. So I say, kama krodha niyuktanam yatinam yata chetasam. This is happening because my thinking instrument is equanimous now. All this vikshepa was happening, all these disturbances were happening, was in my thinking instrument, chitta. That thinking instrument was creating a good world outside, the bad world outside, good people, bad people. But once that thinking instrument is equanimous, all these things go away. So, yatinam yata chetasam abhitaha brahma nirvanam. Bhita, at least in Gujarati. What is bhita in Gujarati? War. War, no? Abhitaha, he does not have any wall around him. No limitations. He is free on all sides. You know. He does not have any boundaries. You know. That's why the doctors without boundaries. You know. Or now I saw something about something without boundaries. I think it was a Facebook or Twitter says, you know, friends without boundaries or something like that, you know. We don't know boundaries. That's why internet is becoming so prolific, because it has erased all those boundaries now. That's what we are all seeking. Bhagavan said, the one who has become one with his self becomes abhitaha. No boundaries, no walls around him anywhere. So he's free from all sides. Brahma nirvanam vartate vididatmanaha. You know? Such a person is considered a realized self. People used to ask Swamiji all the time, Swamiji, are you realized? Swamiji says, your question is wrong. Because any answer I'll give you will put you in more doubts. If Swamiji says, if I say I'm realized, you'll say, well, Swamiji is a big ego. You know? He thinks that. And he says, if I tell you that, no, I'm not realized, then say, why am I wasting my time? Self-realized person, he himself knows he's self-realized by if he's free from all sides. Abhita Brahma Nirvanam, he's completely free, he has no limitations. No caste, no creed, no race, no religion, he's free. So, Abhita Brahma Nirvanam, Vartate Viditatmana, such a person is considered self-realized person. And then the next three verses, the concluding verses which you have seen, are actually the introduction to chapter 6. The introduction to Dhyana Yoga, the meditation. We have heard this term before and in many different contexts. But here the Krishna comes and gives you actual techniques. People ask me all the time, I say, well, where do I find books on meditation? Krishna himself taught meditation. Just learn from him if you really want to learn from him. And as Swamiji says that in the Sanskrit literature, the chapter always ends with the introduction to the next chapter. So all these TV serials people, they didn't really invented anything. Next week's, you know, scenes from the next week's episode, you know. They didn't learn from any. We had it from last 5,000 years. Verses which gives you a brief thumbnail sketch of what we'll be discussing in the next chapter in detail. They describe the path of meditation and techniques of meditation. So they say, sparsan krutva bahihi bahyan. So how to meditate? When you sit down for meditation, keep all the external contacts outside of you. In other words, no contact with the world outside. By your senses, by your ears, eyes, tongues, I can be eating laddu and doing meditation at the same time. You know, I also can be watching TV and doing meditation all that time. I also can be having this, you know, iPod. Stick to my ears and listen to music and do it. Sparsan krutva bahi bahir. All the contacts, leave them outside. You know. That's the first requirement. You know. Chaksuhucha eva antare bruvo. Now people read lot into this thing, you know, all these techniques, you know. They are actually the most simple techniques. Meditation is the most simple thing you can do. You know. It may be the most difficult thing you can do, but it's the most simple thing you can do. The very goal of meditation is simply to reduce the activity of your mind. We have seen that what creates the vikshepa in my mind? The thinking entity. Constantly going into different directions and finding new hypotheses of how to get happiness. You know. So it says, shut that down. How are you going to shut that down? First, shut your contacts with the world outside. No listening to music, no watching TV, no eating chewing gum. Sit down quietly with no contact with the world outside. And they say, Chaksucha eva antare bruva. Focus your gaze between the two eyes, between the two eyebrows. It says, Chaksuho means eyes. So people try to think in the middle of the eyes, and Swami used to make joke about that, all that will do will make you cross-eyed, you know. So if you try to focus your two eyes between your eyebrows, all it will do for you is will make you cross-eyed, you know. But basically it says to focus your gaze. When you close your eyes, you're still gazing. That gaze should be focused between your two eyebrows, between on your forehead basically. So it's you're uplifting. Swami says you're uplifting your gaze, and that uplifts your mind. Very gently closing your eyes, sitting down in a position which is most comfortable. So if you're uncomfortable, mind is going to go there. Whatever is the most comfortable position. So no matter what somebody tells you, that only Padmasana if you do the meditation is good, or Ardha Padmasana is okay, but no. Sukhasana is accepted. Anything which is really comfortable for you is what really you want, because you don't want to get distracted by the pain in your leg. I no more sit on the floor because my leg will be hurting. And I really don't want to have my leg hurt and then have another problems there. So I might as well find a place where it's most comfortable for me. So sit down in a comfortable place. Keep all the contacts outside. Fix your gaze between your two eyebrows and your forehead. You're basically uplifting your mind towards the higher goal. Prana pano samokritva nasya bhyantara charino. Between the two nostrils, the breath which is taking place. Now obviously we are not aware of it all the time, but obviously the breathing is taking place every moment of our life. But we have also seen that the breathing changes as my mood changes, you know. As we have seen, when angry, it's a fast breathing, all excited, you know. So he said, make this breathing equal in your nostrils. So people think, I really need to have a lot of this tactics and techniques to learn how to do it. It's as simple as when this thing is equanimous that I'm not even aware of it. It becomes so balanced in my nostril that it is no more disturbing. It no more either exciting my mind or depressing my mind. Because breathing does have a connection with my mood and my mind, you know. So make it equal. In other words, I reach a point that nothing is distracting my mind into creating a new thought. The technique is, the goal is to create a thoughtless mind. Mind which does not have any thought. And obviously the people who do research on meditation, they hook up all this brain activity thing and figure out what level they are. If the activity is the beta level or an alpha level, and then have to go below alpha level. Whole point is that if there is a thought, the thought is always about something other than you. We don't constantly think about myself, my car. We always think about what am I going to do with that person? What will I do next time? What should I say so that will impress other people? So thought is always about something else. If I have no thought, and if I'm still aware of myself, what left is pure awareness. I'm not aware of a thing. I'm not aware of my leg. I'm not aware of my body. I'm not aware of an elephant. Not aware, but I'm just aware of myself. And Bhagavan said, that's the goal. So therefore, prana pano samokritva, ingoing and outgoing breath making equal. Leave all the contacts outside, focus your gaze, and think and contemplate on yourself. I say, yata indriya manah buddhihi nirmoksha parayanaha vigat iccha bhayakrodha yah sada mukta eva saha. We are doing meditation because we want to be liberated. We want to be liberated forever and all the time. So I said, Yatta Indriya, one who has now controlled his senses by this techniques of meditation. Not only the senses, but the mind and the intellect. The whole entity, which is a thinking entity, which is creating this ego, that this is me, the limited being. When that is controlled, by moksha parayanaha, because I have this intense desire to liberate myself. And without a desire to liberate yourself, you can't achieve anything. We all know that the people who really win the Wimbledons or the Olympics, the one thing common in all the winners is a burning desire to win that Olympic. You ask people, and say, well, I had been training since I was 4 years old because I always wanted to win the Olympics. That's the one common thing among all winners. There's no winner who says, I really didn't want to win it, but anyway, I thought, let me go down there and I'll try it out. In the end, one who has the most fire in his belly to get that will get it. We are all probably seeking. But I say, well, it's okay if liberation comes, maybe great, If not, this is not bad, Then Bhagavan said, you have a very little chance, my friend. Moksha parayanaha, one who has a burning desire to liberate from these limitations, who has controlled his mind, intellect, and the senses. He became now vigat icha bhaya krodha. He has no other desire but to liberate himself. He has no fear of anything. And because he has no desire and no fear, there is no anger. He has become freed from all that. Yaha sada mukta eva saha. Such a person is free all the time. In the last verse he said, so what does the person think that all these activities have done of meditation? Who is the enjoyer of this? Bhuktaram yagna tapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram. All these activities which I am doing in this world, including this meditation and contemplation, who is the enjoyer of that? Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. I am trying to gain contact with my own self. Once I realize myself, that's a fulfillment of myself, that I liberated myself. That self is nothing but the part of this universal self. That universal self is the Lord of all beings. He is the Lord of the entire universe. So any activity which I am doing right now and will be doing forever, enjoyer is only the Sarvaloka Maheshwaram, the Lord of all the beings. He is the enjoyer. All the activities eventually goes to him. Whatever I am doing, good, bad, or ugly, he is the treasurer of that. He gets all of that. So, Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. So now, when we say Sarvaloka Maheshwaram, even a person in a higher position, we have a tough time approaching him, And say, well, I'm looking for a job. Who should I contact? Well, the human resources department. And somebody says, you will never get anywhere if you just rely on sending your resumes to human resources. Find somehow to get to that guy who makes the decision. How do I get there? He is at the higher level. I can't even reach there. He said, don't worry. Just pick up a phone and call him up and maybe he will pick up the phone. So typically we are afraid that as the person is in a higher position, it's very difficult to attain. That's why we think that God is so difficult to attain, because He's the God of all beings and I'm just a little creature. How can I attain God? Bhagavan says there's a big difference. Even though he's a Sarvaloka Maheshwaram, he's the Lord of all beings, he is the beings. And therefore he's Suhridam sarva bhutanam. He's the friend of all beings. He doesn't say he's the father of all beings, the mother of all beings. No relationship is as close as a friend. Friend is a person where I can say, you know, I'm thinking about really doing this prank on this guy. And the guy says, well, you know, Neil, that's not the right thing to do. But I said, no, I'm bent on doing it. Are you with me or not? And the guy, my friend, will say, I think, Neil, you're wrong, but I'm with you. That's a friend. You can go to your father and say, I'm doing this. Or mom and say, Mom, I think I'm going to do that. Mom says, no, wrong, but I'm with you. No, you can't do it, period. You're not going for that party. That's a relationship with your mom or father or brother or sister. All the relations which we consider close, actually not as close as your friend. Your friend is with you whether it is right or wrong. Lord Maheshwara is your friend. Suhridam sarva bhutanam. He is the friend of all the beings. Therefore he lets us do what we like to do, whether right or wrong. Our friend will say, Neil, you will get in trouble if you really want to do that. Not a right thing to do, but you will get in trouble. But I say, no, but I want to do it. Then he says, okay, then I'll support you. I'm with you. I'll come with you. We will suffer together. But you are my friend and you are bent upon doing it. I can't say no to you. Bhagwan does the same thing with us, you know. He always supports us in all our bad intentions and wrongdoings, fully knowing that we are going to suffer. He also suffers with us, and we also suffer. But he is our friend. Suhrida sarva bhutanam. Gnatva mam santim ruchyate. A realized person knowing this, that Lord is the friend of all the beings, always with them, will always with me, he finds that eternal peace. And that's where we end at chapter 5, and we will see chapter 16.
Om sarve bhavantu sukhina, sarve santu niramayaha, sarve bhadrani pashyantu, Ma kaschid dukkha bhag bhavet. Om shantihi, shantihi, shantihi. Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.